A lot of high functioning women look like they have it all together. They're productive, they're focused, they're holding everything together, they're showing up, performing, achieving. But underneath that, they're literally exhausted. They're not just tired, but they're depleted. And that's the real problem because so many women think they're failing when in reality, their bodies are dysregulated, their hormones are off, their nervous system is overloaded. And they've been pushing through it for so long, they don't even recognize what normal is supposed to feel like anymore. And so today's conversation is about understanding what's really going on and how to fix that. My guest today is Sanal Bhatia. Sanal works at the intersection of modern health science and Ayurveda, helping women understand their energy, hormones, and nervous systems in a deeper, more integrated way. So her work focuses on why so many high-achieving women feel depleted, even when everything looks fine on paper, and how to restore balance, energy, and resilience from the inside out. So Sanal, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you here.
Hey, Lisa, it's a pleasure to be with you.
So excited. So we're going to get into this a little bit later, but I literally 40, going to be 42. Lately, my body is just feels like it's completely failing me. I went to the doctor. My labs show perfect. Everything is perfect. There's no issues, yet I still feel so uncomfortable. So I'm really excited to get into this later on. But there's so many women out there that feel like they're doing everything right, right? They're eating well, working out, showing up, yet they feel completely drained. Can you talk to us a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, this is, I would say, normal. It is not abnormal. One of the most common things I hear from women in midlife, which is our 40s and 50s, is, I don't understand what's happening with me. I used to handle so much more, right? They're still showing up. They're still performing. They're taking care of everyone in their network, whether it's their parents, their children, their spouses, their jobs, their health. But underneath, it's exactly what you described. Something is feeling off. It could show up as fatigue, brain fog, irritability. Poor sleep is a real good clue. And the first assumption is something is wrong with me, but I'm going to go to the doctor and all the labs look normal. That is the first sign. I see it very differently. I think they're not failing. They're actually dysregulated. That's it. And the whole thing that we have to acknowledge is what we did in our 20s and 30s is not going to help us in our 40s and 50s. And we didn't have our ancestors, our parents, our grandparents. We didn't witness that with them, right? So we don't have the knowledge of our ancestors' wisdom on how to navigate through this dysregulation and seek regulation.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, my 20s and 30s, I was pushing through. Like, that is literally what I was doing. I was handling so much. Do you think that that builds up in our system over time, and then our bodies are like, nah, we can't do that anymore? What do you think happens to our system?
That is an excellent question. And look, from a, I understand both the Western medicine and the Western component, but now having done my master's in Ayurveda, I can bridge that perspective because in Ayurveda, what we understand is we're all made of various elements, air, earth, water. It's a combination of them. And your combination is different from mine. So once you start to understand your own constitution, they call it doshas, but for simplicity, I'll call it constitution. You start to understand how you show up in your best in the world that you're in. And we didn't know any of this. We just thought one size fits all. Like what every woman does in their 20s and 30s is the exact same thing. But the truth is, we are all made differently. So one, that is one thing. The other component is that we go through different life stages, and those life stages have different constitutions as well. So, for example, Pitta. Pitta is a very fiery constitution. We're all in that in our 20s and 30s. So there's a lot of fire and water driving us towards getting that career, getting that job, getting that promotion, having a spouse, building a family, getting kids, buying the house, buying the car, they're all drive driven towards fiery constitution. But when we go from 30s to 40s, there's a subtle change in our constitution based on our age, simplistically. And we go into Vata. Vata is more airy. The fire starts to slow down and air starts to take over in our bodies. Every woman goes through this. We just didn't know that. And when we're going through that transition, when you're forcing the fire in a body that is more airy, that is the dysregulation. It's just not possible. And that's when you start to, quote unquote, burn out. But it really isn't burnout. It's just a dysregulation that you're going through.
Right. So then how do we differentiate between burnout and hormonal dysregulation? Are there ways that you can tell the difference?
Yes. So I think this is where sitting with someone that understands both sectors, you can start to look at what is really driving it. So let me explain to you something very simple called the HPA axis, which is your stress response system. The brain gets a signal, you get an adrenal response, and then you get a cortisol release. Cortisol, we all know, is the fight or flight simulation. So if you see a tiger, your body is going to want to run away. And the cortisol levels are going to go really high as the adrenal response tells us, run, run, run. And if you were to measure it, the cortisol levels are going to be really high and we're going to run. The problem is, when that tiger isn't there, our cortisol level should come down, right? Everything calm and steady. So cortisol is not bad. Cortisol is very helpful for us. The problem in our modern society is that we're constantly on that overload. The moment we wake up, or even at 2 a.m., when your heart is pounding and you wake up like, oh my God, what happened, right? That is cortisol rising. And when we as women are going through perimenopause, our estrogen is starting to decline. Slow and steady. We don't even notice it. It starts to happen. It could happen in the late 30s, early 40s, late 40s. Everybody is different. But there is an estrogen decline. And estrogen is a beautiful hormone that women have that is very protective. It protects us against these cortisol rises. It protects us, protects our heart. It protects our heart rate. So it protects your lipids. It is a very protective hormone that we start to lose in our 40s. And that also leads to dysregulation. So if we maintain that chronic stress and high cortisol that our 30s and 40s or 20s and 30s allowed us to, by the time we get into the 40s, our body's like, no, thank you. I can't do this because now I don't even have the estrogen. The estrogen's declining and you're still navigating your life and I can't. And so the body just stops giving you that ability to have all-nighters, or I'm staying up till 3 a.m. to give this presentation to my boss. We can't do that anymore. Our body's like, no, you can't. So part of it is hormonal. Part of it is the stage of life and we're in. And part of it is the lack of knowledge of how do we then get back into balance.
Absolutely. One of the first things that showed up for me when I noticed my body was hormonal, because I'm going to be 42, is that I would wake up at 6 a.m. with just like sheer anxiety. It's like my body's like vibrating and my cortisol levels were just through the roof. So what is the difference between high cortisol and flattened cortisol?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And what you're describing at 6 a.m. also happens for many women at 2 a.m. It all has to do with what they're doing the night before as well, right? So that wired state, I'm wired, but you know, you're exhausted. I need to sleep. I haven't gotten enough sleep. So the wired but tired state is driven by the elevated cortisol. And it's going to show up as anxiety. Like you wake up and you have racing thoughts, a lot of things that need to get done. You get irritable because you can't focus anywhere. You may have trouble sleeping. So maybe you fall asleep and you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go to sleep anymore. All of these are the wired elevated state. Now, there is another state that you just talked about, which is flattened cortisol. And flattened cortisol, I would describe it as something depleted. Your body is in depletion. Imagine your battery for your phone in red all the time, right? When you're in red all the time, that's that flattened cortisol level. So it shows up in your body as fatigue, that brain fog, like, I don't even know, where am I? What am I supposed to be doing? There's low motivation. And the most common thing that I know when my client is in this phase is her saying, I don't feel like myself. Wow. I know this is not me. And many women are actually moving through both of these states. So they're wired, which is elevated cortisol, and then they're in the flattened cortisol, which is the tired. So wired and tired phase is what you're describing. And yeah, you said it right. The biggest moment of awareness of this is when you go to your doctor and you get blood work, right? Because you're thinking, is it my thyroid? Is it vitamins? Am I depleted on something that's not giving me this energy? And the lab work comes back beautifully normal. But think about what the labs are doing. They're capturing your body state in a moment of time. But as women, we are cyclical. We're going through rhythms. So they're not, the lab is not showing, this is what happened when your nervous system got overloaded. This is what happened when you were fatigued, but you couldn't get your sleep. And so you had 4 hours of broken sleep, but it was never deep enough for you to restore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are there anything that, like, what are conventional labs missing when it comes to energy and hormonal health? Is it that snapshot of time, like you're saying? Like, would it be more useful to have, like, different blood work at different times of day? And how does someone advocate for themselves when they know that something is off, but their labs are showing up as normal? Because I'm hearing that a lot from women, is that the doctors are like, well, we can't really do anything because everything looks normal, right? So how do women start advocating for themselves when they know something is off?
Yeah, that is exactly the intersection that I'm working on. Because when I studied Ayurveda, I realized that there is another layer to Western medicine. So Western medicine is wonderful because it can detect any abnormalities in blood work and go down a diagnosis and then give you a medicine, right? Beautiful. But what happens when your blood work is normal and the doctor says there's nothing wrong with you? There's nothing that they can do. It's now, this is where Eastern medicine plays a big role in how the woman can start to look at herself. And this is where my role and many of my peers are starting to educate, share the knowledge, because there's two things happening. There is vata depletion. So vata is the energy in Ayurveda, and it's a Sanskrit term. It's the energy of movement. When it becomes imbalanced, it shows up as anxiety, insomnia, restlessness, depletion, anything connected to irregular routines, travel, multitasking, stress. All of these lead to this depletion. And then there's something else called ojas. Ojas is the depth of vitality in a human body. In essence, look at it as your life force. Ojas is your life force. It's your reserve. This is where you have resilience. This is where you have deep vitality and stability. Think of it like the phone battery. If you're on red, there is no more reserve. There's no more depth in the energy bank for you to work. So in the modern lens, if you're overgiving, if you're overthinking, if you're overworking, you're never replenishing this basic energy vitality force. And that becomes depleted. So it's a combination of both of these. And we often get into this overachievement trap, right? So high functioning women, we all are high functioning women. Why? Because this is how we were raised, to go and do something with yourself. And we're vulnerable to this because we've built identities around, I have to be capable, I have to be reliable, I have to be strong, I have to reach the heights of my career. But in order to do that, we are starting to override signals. We're overriding the fatigue signals, the whispers of the body. We're pushing through fatigue and saying, it's okay, I'll catch up on sleep tomorrow. I will do it today. And we start to normalize depletion. So we have learned to never give our body a chance to reset. And it is that reset that the labs will never tell you in a doctor's office. It is that reset that takes your energy bank from 10% or less all the way to 90% or more.
So you talk about the Veda depletion and the, is it OJAS?
OJAS, O-J-A. Yeah, energy, okay. Vitality, life force.
Okay, so when we start feeling dysregulated, like, so how do we, I guess, start showing up for ourselves and balancing out our lives? So what do we do? Because there is so many things that are calling us, like we have families and children and jobs. So it's not, I guess, it's people aren't capable of just not working. You know what I mean? So how do we start listening to our bodies? How do we bring balance back into our life in a way that will work?
Yeah, that's a very important question, because while Western medicine calls this an HPA axis, like your adrenal, your cortisol axis dysregulation, Ayurveda describes it as a Vata imbalance and an OJAS depletion, which you just said perfectly, right? It's different language. It's the same reality. The only difference here is the blood work is great. So you've taken away any organic issue. And now you've realized there's nothing wrong with me. Women, listen, there is nothing wrong with us. We are just going through this phase. And it's very important to find how to practically shift our energy on a day-to-day basis. So number one, rhythm over intensity. I really like this because your body is going to respond much better in this phase to consistency over effort. So you don't have to do the weekend warrior workouts. You're better off doing a little bit of movement every single day. And yes, do your weight training when you have to. But when you do the intensity and it is not in rhythm to your daily life, you deplete yourself. So what is it? You have to start to acknowledge, these things deplete me. I used to do them so well, and now I'm exhausted. And start to change that routine, because we're rhythmic, cyclical women. So anything that's intense and takes away rhythm is going to deplete us. The other thing is reducing stimulation. We know that constant input is going to make our cortisol go up, our heart rate go up, and we don't have the estrogen to support us. It's depleting. So then how about not just giving yourself estrogen, because that's another potential avenue, but what about resetting your internal cues, right? So constant input, screens, multitasking. Let me have that other cup of coffee. How many of us have no idea how many cups we've had because we're taking it out of stress? We're stressed, we take a cup of coffee and we keep working. Caffeine takes 13 hours to actually leave our body system. So if you're having that coffee in the late afternoon, of course, your heart rate's going to be up at night and you're not going to be able to sleep. So all these elements that are stimulating us are keeping our system activated. And nowhere are we bringing the cortisol back down. So how do we do that? Building pauses in your day. And I'm not saying, oh, you got to go meditate. If you're meditating, beautiful. I'm super happy. But not everyone can do that. So even a brief moment of stillness. So I'm going to ask you right now, let's just pause. Take a deep breath, close your eyes, breathe in and breathe out. That's it. We just took a brief moment of stillness, silence, and took a deep breath. If we were connected to probes right now, we would actually be able to see how quickly the cortisol just dropped. And it takes an intentional moment. If you have back-to-back meetings, take a pause for 1 minute between the meetings. Take a deep breath, sit in stillness. That's it. You don't have to do anything else, and focus on breathing. Why focus on breathing? Because your mind has a 1,000 task list ideas. You don't want those ruminating through you. The moment you start breathing, everything else in your brain shuts down in the sense that you're not going to be thinking. You now breathing. And that moment of breathing and reset works so powerfully to reduce the cortisol level instantly. And the last thing I'm going to say is, yes, we have to do our work. We have to take care of kids. We have to balance our own health. But protect your evenings. Have an evening ritual of something that you do in the evening that allows you to recover so that you can go to sleep in a protective state. For example, You can put on a candle and journal for 5 minutes, a list of gratitude of how your day went. If you have a problem, write down your problem so that it's removed from your nervous system and you're not thinking about it at night. Gratitude journals are beautiful because you can just write 3 things you are grateful that happened to you that day. And it resets your cortisol level so that when you sleep, you're actually already dropped the cortisol and you're not worried. And the most important thing for me that works for me that I advocate for is be done with your dinner 3 hours before bedtime, 2 to 3 hours, because your digestive system needs to stop working so that your melatonin, which is the hormone that allows you to sleep well, can start to rise. And once that rises, then your body starts going into repair mode. And the best thing to be doing when you're in repair mode is sleeping. Every day between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., our body's going through cellular repair. If we are in bed at 1:30, it's not able to do it. And it doesn't mean that it starts to do it at 4 in the morning. It's too late. You have to wait till the next night. So imagine the nights that you're skipping the repair. All the toxins we breathe in, we take in through media, we're eating through our food, cannot get repaired. And that also lends to that fatigue that women feel.
Yeah, so many important points that you just brought up. Thank you for all of those amazing tips. It's so helpful. I know that for me, one thing that I struggled with is like, it literally felt like my health changed overnight. And so I used to wake up and I would have my water and then I would have this supplement that I loved, but it had 100 milligrams of caffeine in it. And so suddenly I was taking it because it was what I was used to, but I didn't put two and two together that, I don't think this is good for my body anymore. So I literally had to just stop doing everything. And that meant no more morning caffeine. And that was one of the hardest things for me to do because I always relied on it. You know, you look forward to that morning boost. And I think so many people can relate to that. It's like your eyes are barely open, but you're like, give me the caffeine so I can start getting up and doing what I need to do. But I had to reframe my mindset around that and think like, okay, this used to work for me, but it's not working anymore. And the body is so brilliant that my body actually started to dislike the taste of that drink. And then I was like, wait a minute, why am I choking this down? You know what I mean? And so it was really like the awareness of something's not working anymore. What do I need to change? Because humans like routine and like, we really love that morning boost. And so just understanding that one day something might work for you and the next day you might have to change it up, I think is so, so important.
Love what you've said, honestly, because, you know, what helped us get to where we are today is not going to help us to get to the next stage of our lives. And so you're absolutely right that you could say I had the perfect routine. It worked for me. I was a high achiever and I could do so much. But what we didn't realize is that not only are we entering a different phase from a constitution level, but our hormones are starting to change. And as estrogen decreases, progesterone decreases, all of a sudden, the things that we could take in are now triggered. Our body is saying absolutely no. The beauty of what you just talked about is that you listened. You listen to that whisper, and our body whispers and gives us signals, but sometimes we're so busy that we don't even hear those signals until they become a problem. That's when the blood work shows up. That is when we have to go into Western medicine and get treatment. And what I want women to understand is that there's nothing wrong with you. It's just a simple small shifts in your routine where I remember I had a client and she's like, I have so much acid buildup at night. I just can't sleep. And it was when we looked at her constitution and I did her Ayurveda assessment, I'm like, yeah, you can't have tomatoes at night anymore. You can have it at lunch when your digestive system is the strongest because that's when the sun is peaking. But at night, the tomatoes cannot get digested. So all of that is acid buildup. And one little change made the biggest difference for her. She didn't need her anti-acid pills anymore. It's listening to your body and saying, what's wrong with me? Before you put a Band-Aid, understand why is this. Because there is always an answer to your why. And talk to someone who can integrate both Eastern and Western, because they're going to be able to really give you a more customized solution on your constitution and what you should be doing and why caffeine no longer works for you, right?
Right. Yeah, that was a tough one to swallow. So my next question then is, once someone starts shifting and changing and adding these small little habits into their lives, maybe it is, you know, hormone therapy, maybe it is using food as a tool for medicine, how long does it take to start regulating and feeling better?
Yeah, so every woman is going to be different in how she does it. But I have seen women 2 to 3 weeks, because I work with clients one-on-one and I walk with them on journeys. And every day, every week we meet. So I start to see little changes, but it is around the third and fourth week where they're going to start to say, oh my God, I totally feel different. I have energy now in the morning. I'm noticing my skin is so much better. My hair feels good. These changes take 3 to 4 weeks, because we're the body. We're so well adept to adapting to whatever we're given, but it doesn't happen overnight. And so I tend to give you 1 or 2 changes a week, because it can be very cumbersome to just say, here, go, overhaul your whole system. Yeah. And we don't want to do that either. Everyone has a different depth and quantity of the changes that need to be made to them. So I would say, yeah, it's 3 to 4 weeks. And some people absolutely need the hormone therapy. Others are trying different things to get there. And everybody's at a different stage, right? So perimenopause can last up to 10 years. It could be a 10-year journey. And when you think about that, clients are coming to me at different stages. They may be at the end of it and absolutely frustrated. Others are in tune to their body and like, something's up. What's wrong with me? And it's like the beginning of perimenopause. That is when cyclical changes and routines and habits can start to change now, so that they can enter into menopause in a better way.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so how do women start? Like, where does someone listening who's like, okay, I know something is up, I need to make some changes, where does someone begin?
You know, they could start by going to my website, sanalbatia.com, where I have a lot of free resources. I talk about the different constitutions. I actually have an ebook. It's a free ebook there that can be downloaded to start to understand what is their constitution. Are they fiery people? Are they more like my space, and or are they airy? Like, are they constantly anxious and moving? These start to tell them a lot about who they are. I offer free consultations. They can set up a free consult with me, and then maybe we walk on a journey or not. I also offer a Living Forward Circle. It's a group, collective group. It's also free on LinkedIn, and they can join and ask questions and get answers addressed. It's more of a collective, but there's a plethora of resources. I'm on Instagram as well, Sanalbatia MD. I'm on LinkedIn. I have articles on Substack, which are all, if you go to my website, you can get links to all of these areas, but there's a lot of resourcing. And then, of course, you can work with me, but there is a lot of practitioners out there who offer integrative. And that's every woman, I will say, you need integrative support, not only one type. Before you decide on any medicine, hormone replacement, make sure you're talking to someone who's integrating all of your challenges and changes and giving you exactly what you need. Because there are also a lot of beautiful herbs and plants that are easily accessible now, or spices that are in everyone's kitchen pantry that are going to help you to work through each of the seasons. Like right now, I'm working with my clients who are going from winter to spring, and everyone's feeling that I'm excited about winter, about spring, but I'm coming out of a very cocooned winter. And so we start to incorporate spices and herbs like ginger and turmeric into their diet to start to energize the digestive system and that energy flow. So customized approach to me is the most important way to take care of your health.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sunil, we'll make sure to have all of your information in the show notes for people so they can have access to your website and your tools. I think that is such a brilliant point because I know so many people have a misconception that I'm going to go get hormone therapy. I'm going to start estrogen and progesterone and I'm going to feel better. But that is a tool. But if you don't change your other habits, it's not going to get easier. So there's no just one size fits all solution. And I think women really need to understand that this is a whole lifestyle change in a sense. And it's really hard to walk through that alone. And so having support like someone like you is so helpful. So now if you could leave women out there with one message about their energy and their body, what would you say to them?
I would say there's nothing wrong with us. It's all about how to charge our energy daily, every single day, just like you charge up your phone and get it up to 100% so that you can function with it. Similarly, your body needs to be charged up to 100%. And that could be a nature walk, stepping on the ground and grass to get grounded, or finding a way to have a really good night's sleep. All of these are going to help you get recharged on a daily basis. That's the key.
Thank you so much for being here. It was such a great conversation.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And thank you so much to our audience for tuning in. What I appreciate about this conversation is it gives women something that they don't often get, permission to stop blaming themselves, because it's not about being lazy. It's not about not trying hard enough. It's about understanding that your body has limits in signals. And if you don't, and if you ignore them for long enough, they're not going to go away. They're going to just get louder and louder. So Sunil brings such an important message right now. You're not broken. You're depleted. And when you understand what your body is actually telling you, you can start rebuilding from a place that's sustainable, grounded, and real. Again, Sunil, thank you so much for being here. And for everyone listening, don't push harder. Just listen deeper. Again, thanks for being here. Until next time. Take care, everyone.